Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, I'm so glad you're joining us here on American Voice Radio, because here on Herb Talk Live, we are going to empower you. That's what we like to do. Oh, yeah, we got a great show. Hey, we're going to be talking about some new pandemics. I know it's not good news, but you're going to learn what you can do to protect yourself. Also, we're going to be talking about, well, you know, if we get time, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, the luck of the Irish, and some of those great herbs that go along with, you know, St. Paddy's. So we got lots to talk about, and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi. We're praying for all our righteous men and women in our military, because we got a few, you know. And while we're hitting the knees in, we're seeking God's face. That's how you have a relationship, you know, with the Lord, is you pray. And it's all about a relationship. It's not about organized religion. That's not what it is. It's about knowing the Lord, He knowing you, you knowing Him, and there's going to come a day that you are going to absolutely not care about anything else other than, does the Lord know your name? really know you? Can he vouch for you in front of God the Father? That's the only thing one day, and it's coming quickly. That's the only thing you're going to care about. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray it up, and we're going to ask for protection because, you know, we're going to pray for America because we need righteous leadership. We need God-fearing, righteous leaders. That's what we need. So let's pray for that, shall we? And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Oh, let's see. Approved. The USDA has approved a common additive, but the additive triggers inflammation of the digestive system and can bring on cancer, according to research. Yes, behind the closed doors, you know, corporate interests, the certified organic policy, you know, wherever you hear that. Prime example is, you know, the carrageenan additive, common ingredient, but it's linked to cancer and inflammation. But it's an accepted additive in organic products, according to the FDA. Now, the Cornucopia Institute was the first organization to expose a lot of the instances of fraud regarding the USDA organic certification. Carrageenan was reviewed in 1995 by three scientists with professional relationships to corporate entities, but they did point out the potential that it does impact human health, and they call it degraded carrageenan. And the scientific community had known for decades, based on peer-reviewed published literature, that degraded carrageenan is an inflammatory agent and a carcinogenic, especially in lab animals. So carrageenan is a familiar ingredient. Unfortunately, many people out there are unaware that it can wreak havoc on their intestinal tract, cause it to be inflamed. They can get things like IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. So carrageenan is also implicated in tumors and lesions of the intestine, along with other inflammatory conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, and arterial sclerosis. So you want to check your milk substances. It's often added as an ingredient there. And heads up, folks, it's also in your almond and soy milk substitutes, so you want to check them very carefully. Normally, it's not in the rice milk, so you want to read labels. Now, lobbyists for the additive proclaim that the food-grade carrageenan is completely safe, and the only culprit is this so-called degraded carrageenan. But what they fail to inform you is that when the food-grade carrageenan goes through the digestive tract, it transfers to the degraded form. So carrageenan has often been used in the food industry for about 50 years, and it's so reliably it causes inflammation, and scientists actually use it to induce inflammation in lab studies. That's how we know it causes inflammation. All right, moving along in the quacker, let's see. USDA approves Monsanto alfalfa despite pathogens they're aware of. U.S. Department of Agriculture deregulated Monsanto's Roundup Ready alfalfa, but 2 weeks before, the department's chief of agriculture and secretary, Tom Vilsack, made his decision, even after a senior soil expert alerted USDA to a newly discovered microscopic pathogen that has been found in high concentrations in the Roundup Ready corn and soy, and the researchers believe that it could be causing the infertility in livestock, as well as diseases in the crops, and it could potentially threaten our nation's domestic food supply. Oh, boy. Yes, the warning was issued by Dr. Don Hubner. He's a plant pathologist and former Purdue University professor. He wrote a letter to the Department of Agriculture that the pathogen he discovered is new to the scientist, and it appears to impact the health of plants and animals, and most likely humans, to a significant degree. He said, based on his experience, he believes that the threat we are facing from the pathogen is unique and is a high-risk status. In layman's terms, he said it should be treated as an emergency, end of quote. So reports have said that the pathogen is about the size of a virus and is able to reproduce like a microfungal organism. And Hubner says the organism could be the first microfungus of its kind, and that evidence exists that the infectious pathogen may cause disease in plants and animals, which is rare. Oh, boy. Okay, so the pathogen appears to be prevalent in your soy crops, and they are suffering from a disease known as sudden death syndrome. Corn crops, meanwhile, are suffering from gross wilt disease, which is, according to Iowa State University, turned into the disease of the year because, despite historic conditions, gross wilt tends to develop in wet weather when and humid weather when it's been pretty dry. So what's up with that? Now, the retired professor, Dr. Huebner, has called for an immediate moratorium on any approvals of Roundup-ready crops. Despite his warning, the USDA fully deregulated Monsanto's Roundup alfalfa January 27th and also deregulated the Roundup-ready beets, the sugar beets, on February 4th. Okay? So tests have indicated that livestock eating GM Roundup-ready plants have suffered from infertility and spontaneous abortions, and he sees a report. He said that we're going to see an increase in that with our dairy cows as much as 45%. So Roundup-ready stuff. Okay, moving along in the quacker. The U.S. warns health officials to be on the alert of a deadly new virus. The Center for Disease Control Thursday warned state and local health officials about a potential infectious form of a deadly virus previously unseen in humans that has now sickened 14 people and has killed 8. Most of the infections have occurred in the Middle East, but a new analysis of 3 confirmed infections have shown up in Great Britain. And it suggests that virus can pass from human to human, person to person. The virus is a coronavirus, part of the same family of viruses as the common cold, and the deadly outbreak of the severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS. And that first emerged in, 2003. So the new virus is not the same as SARS, but is like the SARS virus. It has similar traits. And guess what? This virus is found in bats. Now, in 2011, they sent scientists out to caves, supposedly to figure out what was killing the bats. But I believe that despite, finding out what fungus may have affected the bats, I think they also discovered what virus the bats had. And I think those scientists went back to the lab and kind of mixed up a new virus for us. What do you think? So far, they said there's no cases of this coronavirus, SARS/mutated bat virus, in the United States. Okay, so it's not here yet. Symptoms, though, of the infection would be severe acute respiratory illness with fever, coughing, shortness of breath. Neither the CDC nor the World Health Organization has issued any travel restrictions related to the virus, though. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, last but not least in the quack report, doctors, in Tampa threaten to call the cops on a pregnant woman if she refuses to have an emergency C-section. Oh, yeah, can't make this stuff up. Pregnant patient was threatened if she didn't have a cesarean section. Tampa Bay Times reported on it. Dr. Jerry Yankowitz, chairman of the obstetrics and gynecology of the University of Southern Florida, sent a threatening email to his 35-year-old patient, Lisa Epstein. The email stated, "I am deeply concerned that you are contributing to a high probability that your fetus will die or your child will incur brain damage if born alive. At this time, you must come in for delivery. I would hate to move to the most extreme option, which is having law enforcement pick you up at your home and bring you in, but you are leaving the providers of the hospital no choice." Epstein, upset about that, of course. Who wouldn't be? She reached out to the National Advocates for Pregnant Women after receiving that email, and the group sent a letter to the hospital questioning their medical ethics. Yes, the chairman of the National Advocates for Pregnant Women said, "Any attempt to force her to undergo surgery by means of arrest and detention in the hospital is without legal justification and in defiance of a clear medical consensus that such threats and actions undermine maternal, fetal, and child health." That was Lynn Paltrow, executive director who said that. Well, to be straight up, Epstein had developed some gastrointestinal diabetes, and on the ultrasound that she had Tuesday, it seemed to suggest the baby may be in distress. So that's when the doctors told her she should have an immediate emergency C-section at Tampa General Hospital. She didn't want to give birth right then, and there were some reasons. She said her husband was at work, she had the only family car, and then she didn't have anybody to watch her two-year-old while she went in to have the procedure. Well, after that all cleared up, Dr. Yankowitz sent Ms. Epstein an apology, and she plans to go in Friday, tomorrow, to have her baby. But goodness, threatening pregnant women with, you know, arrest if you don't do it right now? And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about some pandemics on the way. Yes, we're getting a heads up, of course. It's in the news. Recent alerts from medical doctors and scientists are telling us that we have now moved into a phase where life-threatening bacteria has become so serious. It's a serious reality that it can cause even a nightmarish panic within the medical community. I think it's actually already started. I think they're panicking, to be honest. The medical community and the public are trying to wrap their brain around the reality that we are at risk of death by antibiotic-resistant superbacteria. Dr. Tom Frieden, director of the CDC, he indicated that the last major antibiotics have no effect, and therefore patients are untreatable by modern medicine. So we have killer bacteria pandemics beginning to take shape thanks to the inexcusable overuse of antibiotics. That's basically it. Yeah, let's talk about those wonder drugs. In the 1940s, antibiotics were dubbed the wonder drug, you know, the cure-all, the panacea of bacterial infections, and the name wonder drug was given by the press, and it was absolutely perfect. And why was it perfect? Because now scientists and physicians and the public are wondering how we're going to get out of this predicament. Scientific medicine created the quick fix to defeat the bacterial infections with antibiotics, and no doubt it did save lives in a lot of cases. But they've traded that temporary convenience for massive, untreatable bacterial pandemics down the road. So we strained out the gnat, but we swallowed the camel. Can you see the irony? Basically, that's what we did. Oh, goodness. Let's talk about these bacteria, because it's not just a strain here or a strain there that we have to worry about. According to science, this particular super bacteria, there's 70 species or strains. So there's 70 ways to die by these super bacteria. Now, the drug-resistant bacteria are not just one or two strains, but 70 different species. So what is so upsetting and unsettling is that these particular species called Entobacteriae live in water, dirt, and our digestive tract, known as E. coli. So as medicine has treated various bacterial infections over the last 80 years with antibiotics, the treatment has actually changed the bacteria, and it retreats now. The bacteria retreats into its drug-resistant armor, and then it continues to thrive. So in the last 10 years, the number of drug-resistant species of bacteria grew by over 30%. Now, if you're a scientist, you are totally freaking out right about now. If you have been in the lab and you've seen this happen, Okay, let's talk about your risk. Who is at risk of acquiring these super resistant bacteria. Well, it seems that you are at risk if you are being medically treated at a hospital or rehab or wound burn center or any long-term acute care facility or a nursing home. That's where a lot of the bacteria are. Usually when patients are in these facilities, they receive catheters and ventilators, which can be breeding grounds for the bacteria and transferred from patient to patient. So when bacteria are introduced to the body through these devices, it is able to travel deep into the patient's body. And most patients will already be on at least one antibiotic, which strips away any good bacteria and suppresses the immune system, reducing protection. So this, of course, offers the perfect environment for the endobacteria to multiply and take over. Now, the old and very young are not the only targets of the superbacteria. Everyone is at risk, and only 6 states are actively reporting these bacterial cases to public health authorities. Now, the bacteria can spread by many ways. Physical contact with your doctor, your nurses, hospital equipment, even surfaces. And hospitals in Israel cut the spread of the bacteria strains by 70%. They did that with improved sanitation and better precautions and patient protocols. That's how they did it. All right, so Florida, it has a high percentage of retired Americans, and their facilities were ravaged with bacteria infections over the last year. So they reduced the spread of bacteria from 44% to nearly zero in their hospitals with control precautions, lots of hand washing, identifying infected patients early, isolating them from other patients, and reduced the antibiotic use. Well, there was the big one right there, I think, that one. However, hospitals are not the only place we are at risk. Because my mind goes to that graduate student, Amy Copeland, last year, May of last year. She wasn't in a hospital environment, but she received an accidental cut on her leg, and then she fell into the Georgia River, and she developed that flesh-eating bacterial infection. Remember that? Yeah. So, it's interesting what they're giving these bugs, these superbugs, names. So some of the names the hospitals are giving the superbacteria can be quite exotic, such as New Delhi Metallo Beta Lacamase or Veronica Intragon Mediated Metallo Beta Lacamase. Isn't that interesting? Say that 3 times fast. Well, since last July, 15 of the 37 common superbacteria species have been reported. And in 2011, 18 patients in a Maryland hospital became infected with the superbacteria Calicibilla pneumonia, and 7 of them died. Unknowingly, the hospital accepted an infected patient as a transfer from a New York hospital, and that's how that started. This is kind of mad science, really. Will scientific medicine pull a rabbit out of the hat again and save us all from the superbacteria? It's doubtful. And even if they proclaim a new miracle drug, you would have to wonder if it will have devastating repercussions down the road. Now, I was asked, how many of these bacterial species were lab created? Well, it can be hard to say. Scientists don't know how many different kinds of natural bacteria exist on Earth. However, they estimate between 10 million and a billion. And in 2011, the cost to sequence a bacterial genome cost about $500,000, and it takes several months to complete. So it's estimated that there is about 20,000 species of bacteria in 1 liter of ocean water. Soil samples in the 60s produced 16,000 species of bacteria. And since then, science has determined that there is approximately 1 million dominant and low abundance bacterial species in 1 gram of soil. That's less than an ounce. So how long does it take to cultivate bacteria? Well, some species can double their numbers in just 20 minutes. So bacteria is kind of like dust mites. They are everywhere. So what scientists have done with common bacteria in the lab is anyone's guess. You know, the scientific wizards have gotten us into this mess, but they will not be the ones to bring us out of it. I predict they will not. One reason is that pharmaceutical companies are not developing the new antibiotics for bacteria. Instead, they're making antiviral drugs. So we don't have anything to replace anything. So what are we going to do? Well, personally, I plan to strengthen my natural immune system with God's good herbs, and I will include the poor man's antibiotic, which is garlic. Yeah, garlic is an antibacterial and antiviral herb in which, you know, the superbacteria is not resistant to it. It's not resistant to a really strong immune system either. So I would also layer in some herbs like echinacea and astragalus root to help the immune system strengthen and to make more and to release more killer T cells, your macrophages, your white blood cells. So there's herbs that help your body do that. So, you know, God said herbs are here for the service of man in Psalms 104. Verse 14. He also said herbs are meat in Genesis 1, verse 29 and 30. That's how powerful they are. So I believe that before I would believe the pharmaceutical cartel. I also pray Psalms 91, believing in God's supernatural protection from pestilence. That psalm, that part of the Bible, Psalms 91, it directs you to pray for protection from pestilence. God's people know the promise that many will expire on their right and on their left, but that disease will not come near them, because that's what that prayer is about. So, you know, you can, while you got lots you can do. There's no need to freak out. While you can call the immune system and organ cleansing experts, and you can store in stock the power herbs God calls meat, okay? Call Apothecary Herbs for their power herb kits, pandemic kits, lung and congestion pack, and a whole lot more. They have a toll-free number you can call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277 if you're international. Or you go to the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You know, herbal tinctures made without heat, if they're made right, have a 10-year shelf life. So if you have your self-defense ammo, that's great. But what about your immune system ammo? You got that yet? Don't be left defenseless. So call Apothecary Herbs now while you can, 866-229-3663. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, don't forget about their free stuff on Monday. If you order on Monday, if your order is $50 or more on Monday, you get free stuff. I mean, you can't beat that. Of course, you can't use that with other discounts. If you get some coupons or something from your newsletters, then you can't use both. But, by the way, sign up for the newsletters. You do get great, healthy information and coupons to use on the PowerHerbs.com website. We got to take a break. More on the other side. Be right back.
We're science, not what teachers said to do. Making dreams come true, living tissue, warm flesh. bring life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
no. We're having some technical issues, I think. Okay, maybe we got it fixed. All right. We are going to be talking about a little bit more on the pandemics for the moment, because a recent study published in the Albright Group, it described a lot of coming pandemics, the worst in human history. Now, they state that governments and health agencies are not prepared for the severe impact of this kind of pandemic. Keep in mind that the Albright Group is a global strategy firm that works with businesses and organizations to achieve their objectives. So it's based in Washington, D.C. It's headed by the former U.S. Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, and they are secretive about who their clients are. So why are Albright, Washington, D.C., and God knows who else, believe that we're overdue for a pandemic? Well, perhaps these players are going to make sure that we have one. All right, so let's talk about cycles. No doubt these diseases do occur in cycles, and mankind has survived all the natural pandemics. But what about the laboratory-created pathogens, which accidentally or maybe even deliberately escape the lab? How would mankind survive those? Well, the reports coming out of many organizations predict an unstoppable pandemic of cataclysmic proportions. Well, if the pandemic is inevitable, why roll out the pre-pandemic vaccine program that was suggested? Isn't the vaccine just an educated guess since the pandemic pathogen hasn't materialized yet? Well, perhaps we should be asking when the pathogen would not be a guess suggesting a deliberate creation and an execution of a pandemic. Ta-da! So the editor of the Continuity Central, David Honor, he ran an article in 2010. It was by Malcolm Cornish of Faith Bible Chapel International. And in it, Cornish writes about the medicines or vaccines made for pandemics, and he describes them as weapons. I recently read also a report in DARPA. They are involved in vaccine production, as you know. And what is the Pentagon doing stepping on Big Pharma's toes and doing that? Well, apparently Big Pharma takes too long to make a vaccine with the chicken eggs, and DARPA's decided they want to pump out 10 million doses of a flu vaccine or any vaccine in about a month just by using pathogens on tobacco leaf cells. So this really gets into some dangerous territory when government can create a national emergency, enact martial law, enforce mandatory vaccines, and solve the problem with the vaccines they're making. And it may not even be a pandemic that really exists. Kind of scary. I'm just throwing it out there, FYI for y'all. Let's talk about modern society, because apparently our society is so modern, that it will be the vehicle to which the pandemic will spread far and wide. We're told that modern transportation will lend itself to mass infestation of a pandemic pathogen. So a team of scientists at MIT configured an algorithm on their computers to determine which transportation hubs would be the key to spreading the infection. The largest airports, Chicago O'Hare, Minneapolis St. Paul, Atlanta International, LAX, and New York's John F. Kennedy were all on the list. Okay. However, it was Honolulu's airport that was the most likely hub for widespread infections. Honolulu's Pacific Ocean location lends itself for long-distance travelers with layovers and return trip travel, so loop. So it also is connected to the largest airports in the U.S. and in Asia. So think of a farmer spreading seeds by hand compared to a farmer using a mechanical spreader with a greater range of volume. That's what you get. So Honolulu is considered by scientists as the likely mechanical spreader of global pathogens. So let's talk about pandemic fatigue, because Albright's group and other organizations in Washington, D.C. understand that they must avoid what is known as a pandemic fatigue situation. They don't want the masses desensitized to the seriousness of pandemics with frequent sensationalized coverage of government pandemic planning. However, they do want all businesses to be continually planning for outbreaks. So this business practice leads to uncertainty, leads to doubt and fear when you're enforcing a doomsday approach. So how do the businesses make sound investments and good business decisions when they're all, you know, kind of on edge about pandemics, you know, waiting for that other shoe to drop? Well, I'm not saying don't do any prevention planning for a pandemic, but let's not throw a pandemic party and send out invitations either. Let's talk about global costs. The cost of a pandemic, it will be in the trillions of dollars. When there is a pathogen from animals, livestock is lost. Financial centers feel the loss, and millions are spent on vaccines. So if you haven't noticed, the potential for a catastrophic global pandemic has been predicted by researchers and the World Health Organization for decades. 2004, the WHO said that the world was prime for a global avian influenza of historical unprecedented proportions. They described the bird flu as becoming a human influenza via a new subtype of flu where humans have little or no immunity. Were they planning this in the lab? Well, yes, some folks like Dr. Carley, they'd say yeah. So the World Health Organization went on to state that the flu vaccines would be useless against a new subtype strain of avian flu and would take many months to create a vaccine after an outbreak. That was what they said in 04. But then they changed their little tune when we had the bird flu of 09. They estimated tens of millions of people would die and the global economy would be ruined. And since that, then, risk management companies have kind of cropped up, and they've specialized in operational risk management to protect big business and the banking system, should Pandora's box be opened. Well, let's look at the plague model. Now, since the time of Aristotle in 384 BC, scientists have been studying the evolution of disease. Disease typically does evolve, and germ theory of disease emerged in 1840. Later in the 19th and 20th centuries, scientists and physicians such as Koch, Lister, and Pasteur expanded on germ theory, and inoculations emerged. Today, professionals from science and math create models of epidemiology to figure out where disease and what kind of disease will strike at what area next. Now, at first, it was about understanding disease transmission in order to eradicate it. Now, it's more about controlling and managing and regulating the spread of disease, not about eradicating it. So disease study is popular because it brings upon more death than war could and even natural disasters combined. It's a weapon. Disease is now a weapon. So a prime example of a disease study was the Eyam plague. In 1665, an English village called Eyam was hit by bubonic plague. The community of 350 people quarantined themselves, and 83 survived. The Eyam plague was a disease model often used. The trading ships from Asia to Europe were often infested with diseased rats, and when the rats died, the fleas jumped onto the humans. So the quarantine was not going to be effective since the infected rats can move to other towns. So the key to ending infestation and disease models is to disrupt the basic reproductive cycle, whether it is a mutating virus, a mosquito larvae, or rat fleas. So if you are looking at human depopulation, you disrupt the human reproductive cycle with on-demand abortions, various forms of birth control, and regulated disease. Okay, Moving along, let's look at some contributing factors. There are several controls when it comes to the business of disease, such as human and animal invasion of the ecosystem, environmental degradation, and increase in travel, immune resistance to bacteria, and other microorganisms in which the latter has been significantly affected by antibiotics. So these controls affect the emergence and spread of pathogens. So the delivery system of the pathogen is also going to be a factor. For example, is the transmission through a parasite, a bug bite, human contact, or a syringe? There are many variables to consider when it comes to disease, and this is why science has tapped the shoulder of mathematics to help them with assumptions and to help predict the course that a disease may take. Let's look at some of the assumptions quickly. Science is full of assumptions and educated guesses. You could consider science's best guess on pandemics as one big thesis. Now, some assumptions concerning disease are time of incubation, recovery time, average rate of infection, rate of transmission, etc. So they plug all these human phenomenon into the mathematical equation, and they hope for the best. Well, what's the strategy? Well, my strategy, pretty simple, actually. My strategy against disease is to strengthen my immune system. There are many things that can weaken an immune system, and we have to guard against them. Stress, of course, anxiety, depression, vaccines, alcohol, antibiotics, just to name a few players that will disrupt your body's natural ability to defend you from disease. So healthy diets, regular exercise, clean water, immune-boosting herbs are going to help with that. You can layer in some immune-boosting herbs with your organ cleansing protocols to also boost your filtering organs to eradicate infections faster. Now, if a pandemic should occur, you can prepare for that as well. The last thing you do is, you know, get injected with a viral strain, or God knows whatever is in that vial. At Apothecary Herbs, we do have pandemic kits. Of course, we do have our new lung congestion pack. We have a heart attack pack. We got lots of stuff there for emergencies with long shelf life, 10-year shelf life. So you can check it all out at thepowerherbs.com, or give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, and they'll send you a free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the website. And also pick up a copy of the Power Herbs ebook. Lots more information that'll educate you on how you can protect yourself from God knows what's coming down the pike, right? Also, I should mention coming up, we're going to have Dr. Carly with us on the 19th, so she'll be back here. Also, the week before, on the 14th, we're going to be talking with Margaret Pressler. She's the author of Cheat the Clock. She's got some natural ways how we can look younger longer, so we're going to talk with her. And I should mention before we talk about our Luck of the Irish segment, Seattle Organics Restaurant has a great website with lots of informative articles on there on health. It's not just about, you know, where to go out and eat. It's all about health. They have a wide range of nutritional topics there. So you can go to SeattleOrganicRestaurants.com. I know that's a whole lot of stuff to type. Instead, you can go to thepowerherbs.com, go to their link area, and click on the banner for the Seattle Organics folks, and get right on over there. So that'll be helpful to you, empowering. And if you're on thepowerherbs.com, also take advantage of the free online newsletters with lots of information. You've got the Health Quest newsletter. It's all about herb secrets that goes out weekly. And you also get discount coupons to use on the PowerHerbs.com website. Also, the American Survival newsletter is a great newsletter. It goes out Tuesdays. And we've got Dr. Carly writing for that, Ty Bollinger of the Cancer Truth Chronicles. We've got Melanie Cederstrom and Al Adask regarding our financial area. They're writing for that. We've got organic gardening tips. We've got Dr. Stephanie, the chiropractic expert, writing about that. She had a great article this week on how your bone alignment can translate into affecting the central nervous system, which affects immune system. So, you know, making sure that, you know, you got good posture, good bone alignment can help your central nervous system that works in tandem with your immune system. So she had some great advice there for you. So chiropractic care, not very expensive, and it's, you know, simple, and it's organic and it's natural. So check that out. Alrighty, we are going to talk about the luck of the Irish. You know, as kids, you know, we were all over the spring lawns looking for lucky four-leaf clovers. I know I did as a kid. And why was all the fuss over clover and whether it had three or four leaves to it? Well, according to the legend, each leaf represented something like hope, faith, love, and luck. The three-leaf shamrock clover is the symbol of St. Patrick's Day, also represents the Holy Trinity. So there are about 10,000 three-leaf clovers for every four-leaf clover you find. So clover can have more than four leaves. The most ever recorded was 21-leaf clover. Cool. So we're told that the clover with four leaves would bring us good luck, but in reality, it's the three-leaf clover that offers our human bodies more than luck itself. It has some great medicinal properties. So when I talk about clover, I mean red clover. Red clover has a very long history of medicinal use, so long, in fact, that pharmaceutical companies would be jealous. Red clover is one of the oldest agricultural crops and has at least a 100-year-old track record for treating cancer, which is still somewhat controversial by the health authorities. Now, the Greeks, the Romans, the Celts, they all used red clover, and it has a long religious history. The Romans liked the three-leaf clover because of its symbol of the Trinity. The Irish made the three-leaf clover their shamrock symbol, and later it became a model for the suit of clubs in your playing deck of cards. And in the Middle Ages, the red clover was used by the occult and mystical charms people, and also in the church. They used it to ward off witchcraft. So red clover blossoms were used in Chinese medicine to make herbal expectorants. Russian folk medicine used red clover as a treatment for asthma. Red clover has been used by cultures all over the world in topical salves for skin sores and eye infections. But down through the centuries, red clover gained other uses, such as for inflammation, as a diuretic, as a sedative, a cough suppressant, and even for cancer. Well, let's talk about in the 19th century, the naturopaths adopted red clover to use against pertussis, whooping cough viruses. Red clover seems to have the ability to soothe, and it was listed in the King's American Dispensary in 1898. The clover was also listed as an excellent herb to use for congestive-type conditions as coughs, bronchitis, tuberculosis, croup, and the naturopaths endorsed red clover as an effective agent against the spread of cancer. So red clover was an ingredient in the famous Henry Hoxie's cancer treatment. Later in the 20th century, though, red clover was a popular ingredient in the patented medicines called trilonium compounds, which were used to treat skin disease, syphilis, and TB. So red clover remained in the National Formulary, which is a pharmacist reference book, until 1946. And it's a wonder it was listed there, since the American Medical Association Council decided that, you know, red clover had no medicinal properties whatsoever in around 1912. I mean, used for hundreds of years, and then all of a sudden it's worthless? Let's talk about some modern uses. Today, most naturopaths will use red clover externally for skin conditions like eczema and psoriasis. And if you use it internally, they use it mostly for menopause, digestion, and respiratory congestion. However, a few enlightened healers use red clover as blood purifiers and to clear the blood of cancer cells. Let's talk about the FDA. The FDA isn't worried about red clover. They're not. They have red clover listed on their safe list with no side effects. They claim red clover has no medicinal value, which is in reality most likely means the opposite. Shh, you're not supposed to know that, though. Okay, let's look at the studies. What in the world could red clover possibly do to benefit mankind? Well, it's just this little clover that messes up everybody's yard each spring and fall, right? People spray it with a weed killer, really. Researchers at the National Cancer Institute checked red clover out, and guess what? Red clover does have anti-tumor properties. Their report was published in the Journal of Natural Product, and Dr. Jonathan Hartwell conducted the research. He was amazed to discover that red clover has been used by 33 different cultures for cancer, and this prominent research, Dr. Hartwell reported that red clover had four anti-tumor compounds and two polyestrogen compounds, which confirm red clover's use for cancer and menopause. Yeah, over the years, they've used it for, you know, female issues. There's more. Red clover does contain tocopherol, vitamin E, which is a powerful antioxidant to help prevent cancer or the spread of cancer and even heart disease. But there is this note, red clover with its estrogen compounds should be not used if your cancer is an estrogen-dependent type of cancer, because this can aggravate that type of cancer. So the isoflavone polyestrogen in red clover will reduce hot flashes and menopausal symptoms in women. An Australian study tested the red clover in 27 postmenopausal women, and it improved their arterial elasticity, which suggested red clover also helps prevent heart disease by about 23%. And these findings are so important regarding heart disease and female issues, menopause, there are no bad side effects to the red clover, as FDA has identified and confirmed. So what can you expect? Well, if you use red clover, it can increase urine flow and mucus production as it cleanses the blood system. It also tends to promote menstrual flow in women, and the tannins in the red clover have an estrogen-like effect and tend to settle the stomach. So if you have stomach issues, it'll help with that as well. So, you know, red clover's got some great uses. We use red clover at Apothecary Herbs in quite a few formulas, including the blood cleanser. So you can tap into the strength of one of God's powerful herbs, and has no side effects. So check that out at thepowerherbs.com, or give the folks a call at Apothecary Herbs. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277 is the number, 704-885-0277, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Well, you got tools, you got information, now go out there and use them to your fullest. God willing, you'll be so much better for it. Hey, these are God's herbs. He calls them meat. They're here for the service of man. I believe him. Well, I'm out of time, but, you know, coming up, don't forget, next week we're going to be talking with Margaret Pressler, Cheat the Clock, book out on the web now in your bookstores. You can check it out. But she'll be with us on the 14th, and then Dr. Carly will be here on the 19th. So we got lots to talk about to empower you further. Yep. Pandemics aside, you got tools, you've got God's protection. Psalms 91, don't forget to pray that. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.